Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good, smutty fun. Enjoy.
Today's trigger warnings include explicit sexual content.
And this month, we made Riley read Pounded by Pluto by Leonard Delaney. And how many stars did you give this one on Goodreads? Did you put it on Goodreads?
I did.
I didn't see it on your Goodreads.
I did it today. This afternoon.
Oh.
I gave it 2.5. At first, I gave it 3.
Oh. It got worse the more you thought about
it. Yeah, I was like, that's too high. I just feel like that would say something about me. I don't know. I just...
Would you recommend it to someone?
No. I don't think so.
What kind of person would you recommend it to?
They'd have to be, like, fucking weird. Like, I'd have to know that they were weird, you know?
Like, should I read it?
Yeah. Do
it. Okay.
You little weirdo. I think Charlotte maybe would fuck with this book. She's a weirdo.
Oh. Yeah. I like the sentient books. They crack me up.
Yeah, honestly.
Is it a sentient planet? Don't tell
me. Yeah, I was like, why are you asking? But I chuckled. I chuckled a time or two reading this, so.
We love that.
I know. I was at work just...
It made you giggle and you only gave it 2.5 stars?
Yeah, see, I'm just wrestling with it in my mind. Still, I'm like, should I go back and change it to a 3? I don't know. You guys let me know after.
Yeah, we'll have to let you know. Let's hear it.
Are you all ready for this?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore, said Tyson. Violence, bigotry, hamburgers with fried chicken for buns. I've never seen that, but sounds like a time.
That's at KFC, isn't it?
Well, I'm not going to try it, but...
Yeah, I think it's called, like, the naked sandwich or something.
Is it supposed to be, like, healthier?
God, no. No.
Tyson goes on and on as he rants to his cat. He tells his cat, you don't get it. You're just a cat. Well, enough is enough. I'm out of here. Other planets can't be worse than this one. And to prove it, I'm heading to the worst planet of them all, Pluto. This man hates Pluto.
What'd Pluto ever do to him?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Poor Pluto. Do they consider Pluto a planet in this book?
He does not.
Oh.
Don't you dare say that to it. He's so aggressive about it. And so, as you can see, we meet Tyson. He is, like, our main character. Ever since he was a kid, he's hated Pluto. And he, like, hates it with a passion. He says it's just a dull blob of a rock and it would make him absolutely rage when he would look at it through his telescope, which, like, as a child, you need therapy.
He just wants to, like, look up and, like, stare at Pluto and he's like, God, I fucking hate
you. He's like, fuck,
shakes his face.
You. Tyson went to go visit his good friend, Sir Dick Branson. Dick is a billionaire and longtime CEO of his own space exploration empire, and he's over 100 years old. So this is in the future, baby.
Oh.
We are not in 2024. Tyson traveled to the Virgin Biosphere to visit Dick at his home. When Tyson gets there, Dick is in a low-gravity hot tub with 3 young women. Dick greets him, and Tyson takes his clothes off and gets in. So casual. He tells Dick about his plan to leave Earth and go to Pluto, but says his only problem is he doesn't have a ship. Dick says, oh, shoot, perfect timing, and introduces him to the 3 women. Lynn Bonder, Yo So Yeon.
What are these names?
They're unique. The chief engineers and operators for Spaceship 12. And the 3rd woman is Paris Cordova, senior adventurer, block miner, and space engineer. And then the block miner... This man, Leonard Delaney, has other books. His other book, which is like a big hit, I think. It's like something Tetris Blocks.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah. But the Block Miner is a callback to that.
Oh, we don't get it. We're not in the inside joke.
No, we don't know.
Guess we had to be there.
Maybe we should read it.
Maybe.
Dick tells Tyson they were just in a meeting about the latest ship. They're almost ready for mass production of the new model. The one they have is the prototype, and Tyson is like, oh, cool, when can I buy one? And Yo says they don't really need the prototype anymore, and Paris is like, oh, you're right. I think a trip to Pluto would be the ultimate field test, and offers for Tyson to take it. Branson agrees and tells Tyson he can drive it out of here right now, and Tyson is down. He says, let's go. Also, Dick and Branson, that's the same person.
Dick Branson.
That's the man, one and only.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Dick. Sir Dick Branson. Tyson felt perfectly at home in the ship's cockpit. He has educated thousands of students about space and has even been on television to discuss how Pluto is not a planet. Also, when you were a kid and they came out and they were like, hey guys, guess what? Pluto is not a planet. Did it make you kind of sad? Because it made me kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I felt bad for Pluto.
Yeah.
It's still like in the sky and like chilling and part of the solar system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, let it be a part of the team.
I think they changed it. So now it's like a dwarf planet.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember hearing that. But he himself has never been to space. Yo touched a panel and the ship came to life. She gives him some details about the ship and Paris chimes in and tells him the real secret ingredient is the artificial intelligence they borrowed from the blocks, which, again, callback to Leonard Delaney's other book, Taken by the Tetris Blocks. That's what it is.
Okay.
Paris tells him he can ask the ship for anything he needs, and he's like, oh, so it's like Siri. Okay, hey Siri, I need to get off this planet. The ship is like my favorite. It's got the best responses. And the ship responds, that's what you say you need, but your brainwaves indicate that the whole fucking point of this was to travel to Pluto alone. Let's wait until these two are off the ship, okay? I am serious, and don't call me Siri. This ship is spicy.
It's like that airplane movie. It's like, and don't call me Shirley.
Yeah. And Tyson is like, oh, it reads minds. That's pretty impressive. And the ship thanks him. The women explain more about the ship to him and also tell him the ship will do its best to keep its occupants alive. Dick appears and has Tyson sign forms, waiving them of any liability, and they hug goodbye. He follows everyone out of the ship and takes one good last look at Earth.
The spaceship loomed over him. Its smooth black exterior was a minimalist rod. At the tip was a slight bulge of the cockpit. The main shaft of the ship merged with the center of the ring-shaped DHMO engine, with a rotating transparent cylinder full of glowing milky liquid fuel.
It's just a dick ship?
Yeah.
Is it just a flying dick?
A minimalistic rod.
Without another look back, Tyson climbed the ramp up to the ship and was ready to go. He gave a final wave and said, get me off this planet, onto Pluto, the second worst place in the solar system. And the ship is like, okay, I don't get your logic, but whatever, let's go. The ship takes off and Earth quickly becomes nothing but a pale blue dot. Tyson watches as the universe zips by. He even gave a little wave to Mars. The ship reads books to him about physics, played him music about mathematical formulas, and showed him videos about astrophysical hexes. After 2 days of travel, Pluto was within sight. Approaching Pluto, the shittiest of planets, said the ship. Tyson stomps to the front of the ship and shakes his fist at it. Look at it. It's a minuscule wad of a rock, like a piece of trash you'd kick down the road.
Jesus Christ.
No. And the ship is like, man, do you need to be so fucking hostile? And Tyson just goes on and on about how he hates Pluto and how it masqueraded as a planet when it's not even a proper part of the solar system. And the ship is like, yeah, I don't get why you wanted to come here. And Tyson said it's same to prove to himself that Earth is in fact the worst. Like, go fucking touch some grass.
Is this like a thing where how kids pick on each other like in elementary school, but that means that they actually really like each other?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe he like really hates Pluto so much, but really he wants to fuck it.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
We'll find out.
He's like, fuck, I hate this planet.
I don't want to fuck it at all.
He just looks up at Pluto and he just gets off to it at night. He's like, fuck, I hate it so much.
He's just in his telescope, one hand, other hand is his wiener, and he's like, yeah, I hate you.
Fuck, jerking I hate you so angrily. Much, Pluto.
The ship touched its ring-like engine down on the surface of Pluto, then rested its tip delicately on a bed of rocks. Tyson put on one of the ship's skin-tight space suits, grabbed a lawn chair and a beer, and walked out the hole in the back of the ship.
Is it the butthole?
Tyson plopped the lawn chair down and weighted down with some rocks. He cracked open his beer and was chillin' in the peaceful quiet. He asked the ship if he can still hear him while he's out there, and the ship tells him, yeah, it's quiet. I could still hear a mouse fart. Tyson says, let's keep it that way. Shut your yap and give me some reading material. The periodic table also is what he asked for reading material.
It's horrible reading material. Very dry.
I mean, gotta stay smart. Silently, the ship uses Tyson's space suit's holographic display to show Tyson the periodic table. He sipped his beer and read, feeling more scientifically powerful. He's drunk now. Also, how? How is he drunk?
Just the one beer. Dumping it on his space helmet.
I don't know how, why, what, when, where, who.
It's the altitude.
It's the altitude. We'll just chalk it up to that.
It's fine.
And he thinks to himself how life could have been better, but on Earth, he doubts it. Out of nowhere, he hears a whisper over his shoulder say, false. I'm not whispering, guys. I'm not doing it. I don't think I could loudly whisper well either. False. See? No.
That was good.
That was really good.
Thank you. Thank you. He jumps up and is like, what the fuck? And asks the ship if he just said something. And the ship says, you told me to shut up and I'm not programmed to disobey. So no, I did not just fucking say something. Go off, ship.
It's so sassy. I love it.
It is so sassy.
I hope the ship comes back. Is the ship a main part of the story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good, good.
The
good,
ship
good.
Stays. The ship stays.
We stand the ship.
We do.
I love the ship.
Tyson is like, okay, it's the beer. Everything is fine. He's just hallucinating. Then he hears it. Another whisper. Not true.
Not true.
I'm just going to tell you when it's time to whisper and you're going to do it.
Okay.
Tyson jumps up and looks around the barren landscape. There's more to it.
There's more to it.
Tyson is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If this is someone playing some cosmic prank, you better show yourself. His attention is then drawn further up the mountain, and he saw something sparkle. He didn't know what it was, but he knew he needed to find out. With the gravity being so weak, he was able to leap up the mountain pretty easily. He's at the top now and glances down at the ship and thought he saw movement behind the window of the ship, but chalks it up to being drunk. Tuck that away. He's now standing at the top of the mountain, and he hears another whisper. There is one more element.
There is one more element.
And Tyson is like, mm-hmm, yep, whatever. And the voice says, I'm for serious. Come inside and I'll show you.
It reminds me of Al Gore in South Park when he's like, you guys, I'm super serial. Super serial right now.
Inside, Tyson asks, and he turns around to see the mountain formed an arch leading into a cave. Also, if you guys saw that, would you be like, I'm gonna go in there? I guess if you're already on Pluto.
Yeah, he's an adventurer.
Jenna's like, no.
I'm like claustrophobic though. Caves? Absolutely not.
You know those spelunking videos of people that are like shimmying down these like tiny tubes of like rock?
It makes me want to vomit.
Horrible.
Awful. It's like rock is touching them on every single part of their body and they're like, this is fine. This is fun. Yeah. I'm doing this for fun.
People die doing that.
And they do it for fun.
Yeah, no one's paying them.
I'm upset.
Cut the show.
Same.
I'm done. Tyson is a curious guy, so he goes for it. The cave seemed to shudder as he entered. Ugh, gross.
Tyson.
He says, oh, welcome home. He tells his suit to give him some light, and the suit's flashlight turns on, and what he saw in front of him was jarring. In front of him was a giant eye, bigger than Tyson's head, and the eye moved around to focus its gaze on Tyson.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, it's a no from me, dog.
That is the eye of Sauron.
It is. Hey there, I'm Pluto, says the eye. And Tyson says, no, that's impossible. You're a planet. And Pluto is like, no, no, I've always been alive. I once lived on Earth with the old ones, but they were more interested in mindless entertainment, and he was interested in science. So he launched himself into space to study the solar system and to be alone. And Tyson is like, oh shit, me too. And they chat a little bit, and Tyson tells the planet his eye is beautiful and asks what he's discovered. Pluto tells him he's discovered a lot and asks him if he would like to know what the other element is. And Tyson is super pumped about this and tells him yes. Pluto tells him this element is in short supply, but the final element is love.
L-O-V-E.
And Tyson's eyes fill with tears, and he says, "No, screw you, Pluto.
A liar!
I found no sources of love on Earth." And Pluto tells him he knows it's true, and Tyson says, "Fine, I believe you, but how can I see it?" And Pluto tells him love is not naturally occurring. It must be synthesized, and Pluto tells him to look.
Past the ship, several kilometers from the mountain, the surface of the planet cracked, then peeled aside. A trio of tentacle-like flaps rose from the ground, shaking rocks and dust from their backs. In the space they had been covering, a puckered pink hole appeared. "Holy crud, what is that?" "It's one of my many orifices. Tyson, I feel like we are kindred spirits. If you want to experience the physical manifestations of the element of love, we need to synthesize it together." "You don't mean, you can't mean." "Yes," said Pluto. "Tyson, you need to fuck me for science."
"For science.
For science, Tyson."
"You don't mean, yes.
Fuck me for science, Tyson."
With Pluto's low gravity, it was very easy for Tyson to make his way over to Pluto's pink orifice. He basically flew over there. He braced himself for impact against the rocks, but when he landed, it was soft. Pluto was made of flesh.
"Ew."
"That felt nice," said Pluto. And Tyson said, "Baby, you ain't feel nothing yet." And unzips his pants as his dick flops out.
Ew. The temperature was below negative 200 degrees Celsius, so Tyson soon regretted exposing himself. He jerked off to keep warm as he approached Pluto's orifice. Ice crystals formed in his pre-cum. "You poor little man," said Pluto. "Get over here. I'll make you nice and warm."
"You poor little man."
Coming ice.
Chivalry is not dead. "Come over to Mama and Papa's nice lap. I'll keep you warm."
The pinky, fleshy area around the orifice was springy like a trampoline.
Disgusting. 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 Nasty.
No. Tyson got on his hands and knees and crawled toward the quivering hole.
Ew.
Quivering.
"Damn, Pluto. Look at that celestial body." The orifice puckered tight as he approached, so that there was only a finger-sized hole among the rigid flesh. "I need you inside of my space pussy. Let me show you what love is, Tyson." Pluto's wet orifice vibrated as he talked. Spussy. 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 Space pussy. Spussy.
"I need you spussy. Inside my spussy."
"Get up in this spussy, boy."
"I want you to fuck my spussy, Tyson."
"My spussy. Space pussy." Tyson positioned himself in front of the hole.
The remaining frigid thoughts he had about Pluto melted away, as did the ice from his penis, as he entered the planet's hot cosmic twat.
Hot cosmic twat. What a sentence.
This is very descriptive.
I am going to describe my vagina that way from now on.
I'm just going to tell Greg next time, fuck my hot cosmic twat.
Yeah.
Yeah, my space pussy.
My spussy. The entire planet shook with pleasure. Tyson sunk further in, and the orifice clenched around him. He plunged in and out, both of them enjoying the hell out of it.
Pluto moaned, "Yeah, fuck me up the astronomy, faster." Tyson obeyed, pounding Pluto faster and harder with every stroke. He wanted this to last forever, but he was feeling the element of love bubbling up inside of his balls, surging through his cock. "I'm reaching my apex," he shouted. "Do it. Fill me with your man lava." Imagine being like, "Yeah, I'm reaching my apex."
Try it. "My apex.
Fill me with your man lava."
Ew.
Is like the element of love just like coming to them?
I don't know.
We have to find out.
Oh. Oh, we do find out what the element of love is?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you'll see.
Okay.
Tyson comes in the exact words used, pumping several milliliters of hot spunk into the planet.
Spunky.
I think this is like the second or third time we've experienced the word spunk on this podcast.
The first time was cum slut.
Spunk.
I miss that book. I kind of do.
Go reread it then.
I will. Rocks fell and cracked around him. "Wow, that was seismic," Pluto tells him. Tyson pulled out, zipped his pants up, and rolled onto his back as he caressed the warm flesh around Pluto's orifice.
Ew.
Tyson asks him if this is love he's feeling, and Pluto tells him no. And Tyson is like, "Oh, was that not good for you? Because it was good for me." And Pluto tells him, it was good, but they're only halfway done. It's not love until they both get off.
Oh. True.
We love a generous
planet.
Planet. Planet.
Dwarf planet. Not a planet.
True.
Star.
I'm a star.
It is a star. Pluto's a star.
A star.
She's a star, baby. Tyson then hears a deep rumble in the distance. Tyson sits up to see something emerging from the ground. It was the planet's penis. It was a fleshy pink, but turned dark purple as it grew, standing taller than the Eiffel Tower. And this is when Tyson's thinking of people like Paris Cordova, one of the girls from earlier, and he's like, man, why didn't I just fuck her? Like, why didn't I just stay there? I could have fucked her.
I wouldn't have had to shove the Eiffel Tower up my ass.
Yeah, exactly. And he is sweating at this point. He is sweating.
As he should be.
Pluto has a space pussy and a penis.
Yeah, has both.
Okay.
Go love off, it. Pluto.
All right. Pluto can just use whatever you want, whatever you're in the mood for. Mm-hmm.
Also, if he's fucking this orifice, is he literally just like humping a hole in the ground?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Cool. I was wondering.
Prepare yourself, Tyson. If we are to experience true love, I need to pound you.
It's the only way.
I have to fuck.
Bend over, bitch.
Tyson tells him it's impossible, and he thought he was a girl planet. And Pluto tells Tyson he has no concept of gender, and he's baffled as to why humans make such a big deal of it anyway. And Tyson says, fair enough. But Pluto agrees. Their continued union does present some logical issues. Tyson tried to rub the base of the penis, but Pluto said it wasn't doing anything for him.
It's literally just like having an ant walk on your penis.
I know, and he's like, nah, I don't feel it.
Do you like that?
And that's when Tyson hears the spacesuit start to speak. It was the ship. The ship apologizes for interrupting their weird groping, but he tells them he can do a lot more than they know. The ship can transfer Tyson's entire mind to his servers, and then Tyson can experience everything that the ship experiences. The ship says not only does he feel pain, but his neural networks were based off sexual beings, so he has a full range of sexual sensors. So the ship is, right, like, basically like, I can fuck.
Why? Who designed the ship?
I know!
And for what reason? That's why he came out the butthole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Tyson agrees, and Pluto is, like, stoked as fuck. Pluto's like, yeah, make that plan. Tyson makes his way back to the ship, climbs his way inside, and sits in the captain's chair asking the ship to take off. Once they are in the air, Tyson gives the ship permission to transfer his consciousness. He hears a clunk at the back of the ship, but thinks it's just because of what's happening.
Uh-oh, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Or, I don't know. I think I know what's happening back there.
Do you? A moment later, he feels his mind split. He's still Tyson, but also the ship. He was in total control.
Turn around. I need your tight little intergalactic porthole. Tyson's back entrance opened. Ew. It just opened. He maneuvered so his gaping airlock aligned perfectly with Pluto's massive space wiener.
What?
Wow. Mm-hmm. The writing is immaculate.
It's beautiful. Carefully, Tyson backed himself over the penis and Pluto pushed himself inside. Engage thrusters, Tyson screamed. And the ship jammed the planet's dick deep inside. At this point, they are both moving in unison and they are loving it.
It's just a ship, like, just going up and down on it.
They're like, oh, what is that?
Can you imagine, like, another Tyson that's just, like, looking through their little telescope and, like, trying to look at Pluto and, like, God, I fucking you, hate Pluto. And it's just, like, a little spaceship just, like, bouncing on Pluto.
And then he jerks off.
Yeah.
Yep. Because he fucking loves Pluto.
Yeah.
The conversion of kinetic energy into thermal energy via friction is getting me so close to orgasms, said Pluto.
Oh, I'm going to say that next time.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
The conversion of kinetic energy into thermal energy via friction is getting me so close to orgasm. Was that creepy?
Science.
I'm reaching my apex.
He's going to say, I'm going to head out.
So I'm moving. You'll hear from my lawyer.
Tyson tells him he's close too, as he thinks to himself, this is the most beautiful moment of his life. Well, you have a sad fucking life, Tyson. That's
true. Yeah. No wonder why he fucking hated Earth.
Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Oh, science, I'm coming, shouted Tyson. Dear universe, I'm erupting, shouted Pluto.
Ew. Cute.
What comes out? Do we find out what comes out? Oh, I'm ready. Tell me.
It's not that good.
No.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Suddenly, Tyson and the ship, and I put like question mark here because I'm like, what?
They're one.
They are one. But I'm like, is the literal ship or is Tyson himself? Which one? Yes. But are filled with glowingly hot liquid. This sends Tyson over the edge and he loses function of the ship. And remember, the fuel is like a milky color.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
The fuel shot out of the front thrusters and froze, causing ice crystals that caught the sun, creating a double rainbow.
Double rainbow across the sky.
Beauty. Tyson asks Pluto if he sees the rainbow and asks if that's love. And Pluto tells him, no, love is within him. And Tyson tells Pluto he loves him. And Pluto tells Tyson he loves him. I'm like, Pluto just wanted to fuck. There is no love element.
He spent his whole life hating this planet. And now he's like, I love you, Pluto.
I know. You fucked me and I love you.
They haven't talked about anything.
No.
They know nothing, but they're in love. Okay, sure.
They are. Tyson sees smoke and is like, oh shit. And suddenly Tyson is back to being just himself. He's no longer one with the ship and finds himself rapidly heading towards the planet's surface. So they are crashing.
Oh no.
They are crashing.
Oh no.
Tyson is freaking the fuck out. Tyson screams at the ship to turn them around and the ship screams back, fucking fuck, we're all gonna die. The door to the cockpit swings open and a woman limps out. It's Paris.
Mm. Oh, hey, Paris.
Tyson asks what she's doing there and she tells them there's no time to explain and to take his clothes off. She does the same and Tyson is like, damn, hey girl. And Paris tells him to stop staring and to turn his spacesuit inside out. Tyson does as he's told. Paris tells the ship to turn on the suit's life support systems to full power, and mist rose from the suits. The suits were designed to keep anything in them alive, so by turning them inside out, they would work to keep the entire ship around them alive.
Smart.
I know. I would have never thought of that.
No.
I'd have been like, oh, we're gonna die.
Yeah.
I would have come to terms with that.
He'd die a happy man.
But, like, where the fuck did she come from? She just watched him, like, fuck a planet, and then she was just like, I'm here to save you.
Yeah. She's been there the whole time. So, like, that little shadow he saw in the window, that little clunk at the back, that was her. The fires in the ship sizzled and shrunk. The cracks in the windshield sealed over. The ship righted itself. The ship tells Paris and Tyson they don't have enough fuel to make it back to Earth, and he's in a lot of pain. Pluto tells them they can stay there, and Tyson tells Pluto he loves him, but he can't stay. Pluto protests, but Tyson tells him now that he knows love is real, maybe he can find it on Earth. And Paris reaches out and gives his hand like a little squeeze. And I was like, okay.
Are they in
love? You two together?
What?
You're maybe. Fuck? They may. I think they will. There should be a second book, Pounded by Pluto 2.
Pounded by Paris.
Actually, you'll see at the end, maybe, Pounded by Paris.
Oh, cute.
Tyson tells the ship to take them away, and Pluto begs, a tear of lava dripping from Pluto's eye as the ship takes off. Paris tells him that must have been really hard for him, and Tyson nods. Tyson asks Paris why she's there, and she tells him she couldn't pass up the opportunity to see how the ship handled itself, and she got more than she bargained for. He tells her he learned a lot about sex, love, and science. Okay. The ship clears its throat and is like, okay, great, but I'm about to run out of fuel and then I'll be stuck in space with two frozen sacks of meat rotting inside me. And Paris says Neptune is the closest, and Tyson tells her it has the fuel they need, but they'll need to get through the catastrophic storms, oceans of poison gas, and also the ice goblins. Paris smiles at him and says, another adventure then, and Tyson says, ship, take us to Neptune. The end.
What an adventure.
Oh, wow. I know. What do you guys think? What do you think?
4 stars.
4?
Yeah, I liked it.
Oh, I love it.
That was, like, very entertaining.
Yeah, honestly. At first, I was like, I hate this. Don't like it. No. And then a couple more pages in, I was like, oh, I can fuck with this. It's pretty good.
That was
and
fun.
And it's funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It was very different.
Do you guys think Pluto's hot?
No.
I don't think the eye does it for me.
No?
Just the eye.
No.
That's the hottest part, in my personal opinion. And then would you guys switch places with Tyson?
No.
Space is actually terrifying, so absolutely not.
Fair. Yes, it is, 100%. If I think about it too much, if I think about the fact that we are on Earth, no, I will cry.
No, yes.
Yeah.
That is true.
Same with the ocean. If I think about the ocean too much, I'm immediately like, no,
what's in there? What lives in there?
No, I don't want to trade places.
Fair.
No.
Fair.
I would love to be Paris, though. Maybe, like, watch from afar.
Stay in the safety of the spaceship.
Yes.
Bring, like, a vibrator or something.
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect. You're set for life.
I'd be down.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten for early access ad-free episodes. And at the second tier, you have access to a podcast of unfortunate events where Riley and I will be doing a deep dive into a series of unfortunate events by Lemony Snicket.
Woo!
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.